Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for flexible source.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster, and we're going to be talking about what is happening financially in the world today. And, of course, the government is telling you, oh, my goodness, things are starting to get better. And then, of course, when this last month came up, and I think there were 447,000 Americans, 447,000 Americans lost their jobs. And why Joe Biden says, oh, we just misread what was happening. But you don't understand what is really happening behind the scenes because you're being lied to at every turn. And the truth of the matter is that the major banks control the Federal Reserve System. They work in concert, and they're trying to destroy our economic system. J.P. Morgan Chase has cut off the credit lines to a number of small businesses, those which had been clients of Wachovia, and these small businesses are dependent upon borrowing money to so they can make money, so they can survive, and they're cutting them off. Certainly, they're cutting off, the major banks are cutting off loans to our major industrial concerns, many of them, and they certainly have the money, they could lend it, but they don't want to lend it because they want to wreck our economy. Why would they want to do that? Well, it's very simple. Because they all tie into an organization known as the Trilateral Commission or the subsidiary organizations, the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers. And their ultimate goal is a world government. And you're not going to be able to get a world government unless you destroy the economy of the entire world and create chaos. And out of that chaos will come order. The New World Order. These people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. They want you to think they're doing everything they can to rescue the homeowners. And it's all a show. It's all make-believe. And even many of the loans that they have renegotiated, as the people lose their jobs, they're not going to be able to make the payments. They could have solved this problem a long time ago simply by buying up all the loans with that $700 billion that was authorized to do just that. But they didn't do it because they didn't want to solve the problem. And until people understand that, literally nothing going on makes sense. Bob Chapman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
Oh, how are you doing, Bob?
I'm playing a ham.
All right, fine. Well, how's your sore throat doing?
Still sore, and I think it's moving into my chest.
All right, well, I hope you're taking lots of vitamin D3, and you need to get some antibiotic, and my wife can find your address and get it off to you. Anyway, tell us what your view of what's happening, the latest reports from the on unemployment, Joe Biden saying, oh, shucks, we just misread what was happening, but, oh, boy, things are going to get better. Just trust us. Give us your impression of what's going on.
Well, I thought what was even more interesting is in the U.S. section, I had a tape that Mr. Biden's presentation. Now, mind you, he is vice president of the United States, and he's supposed to be even-handed about foreign policy, or at least look like it. And he announced that he is a Zionist and all that sort of stuff that goes along with it. I'm rewriting it in tomorrow's issue because he came out yesterday, and I have another tape of that, saying that he thought that Israel should do what they want. They should go and attack Iran if they feel that's what's necessary, and so on and so forth.
And, of course, this would have a devastating effect on our economy and the European economy because Iran would respond by blocking the states of Hormuz and maybe attacking the Saudi oil facilities, loading facilities. They could shut off the oil to Europe, and that would have a profound impact on the United States. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bob Chapman here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And Bob was just commenting that over the weekend, Vice President Obama made a statement on a national radio program to the effect that if Israel decided that they wanted to attack Iran, that we certainly would not in any way tend to prevent that. But, of course, if Israel were to go to war with Iran and were to attack Iran, America would be in the middle of this thing. The world would certainly be affected because the Iranians would strike back. Can you imagine anybody, of course, the Iranians retaliating if they were attacked with nuclear weapons? Vice President Biden, you have to wonder what he's thinking when he made that statement.
I think he had been asked to make the statement by people from Israel, and I think he made a point of doing it to make them happy, because they probably supply him with lots of information, good connections, information for the Mossad, and probably many people who are supplying campaign funds for him.
But don't you think that this really would have been cleared with the Obama administration and the trilateralists who control the Obama administration? Don't you think this was really a trial balloon? You don't think that Vice President Biden would have done that on his own without consulting? Suddenly, the implications of what he said are devastating.
That's right, and of course they said that that's not our policy. But, in fact, they had to have been involved in it. And so you're absolutely right. They had to have agreed with it.
And certainly this would be the positions of Senator Obama, I should say President Obama, although some people believe he's not really the president because he was born in Kenya, and even his grandmother and his half-brother had admitted that. They just never mentioned this in the controlled media in the United States. But President Obama would have to have known what Biden was going to say, but he would not say it himself. He'd get somebody else to say it. Go right ahead.
Well, anyway, that is in reference to Mr. Biden. And so anything you hear coming from him, you can consider the source. But there's all sorts of nefarious things going on, and if you look at the roster of the people who are...
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Bob is just talking about Vice President Biden's remarks over the weekend that if Israel attacked Iran, why we would not tell them not to do it. We couldn't interfere with what a sovereign country does. But, ladies and gentlemen, if Israel should launch an attack on Iran, America would be drawn into the conflict because Iran would retaliate against the United States. Or at least against the oil supplies coming out of Saudi Arabia that block the Straits of Hormuz. And if that should happen, we'd be drawn into a war with Iran. And the only reason that Vice President Biden would have made that statement is because President Obama doesn't want to make the statement, but Biden makes the statement, and they say, that isn't our policy. But we have sent the message to Iran. We have sent the message to the world. That is the Obama policy. Of course they're going to deny it. But, of course, everybody knows that, we have given the green light to Israel to go ahead and attack Iran. I don't think most people realize the implications of the terrible things that could really result from that. Bob, you pick up the story.
Well, you're right about the implications. They're massive. And, you know, as I said for some time, that the way to get out of the financial mess, if it gets out of hand, is to have another war. And, you know, who knows? This may be a lead-up to it. We just don't know what these people are going to do. But we have a pretty good idea, you know, looking at their history. And that's how we're able to predict 9/11 and the Iraq and Afghanistan conflicts and occupations. And so that's historically what these types of people have done. And so that might be where they're headed. We got to remember that if they have their way, you know, half or more of the people in the world should die because it's too many. And so another war that perhaps would be nuclear would bring about the decimation of perhaps half the people in the world. So they would accomplish a couple of things at the same time, extricate themselves from their financial problems, and at the same time get rid of lots of people.
And then, of course, they could simply destroy the financial system, end up with most of the wealth of the world, and then start in all over again with most of the people impoverished, and then we go through another cycle, as they've done time and time and time again throughout history.
Well, I think, you know, I often get this question. And that is, well, I haven't seen any of the Illumas buying gold lately. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to see them except on rare occasions. But I know people who trade gold in London. And I know that they have been consistent buyers since 252. They took down all of the selling by the British government in the late 1990s. In fact, they even announced that the Rothschilds had taken down most of the buying, and of course, the Rothschilds said they were buying it for clients. So I don't believe that for 5 seconds. And I had it verified later that they're the ones with the gold. So, all of you people out there who don't think that the Illuminous have plenty of gold are mistaken. They do. And if gold is needed to restart the system, they'll have it. And they'll do it if they're still alive.
And of course, we know the Rockefellers have been accumulating gold overseas. They're not buying it here. They're buying it overseas. But they can't let the American people know. And, of course, they've got to keep driving the price down to discourage people from buying, because when prices are going up, people buy. When prices are manipulated down, why, an awful lot of people will sell. So they begin to sort of doubt their judgment. They say, well, gee, it keeps going down. Might as well sell. How are they driving it down now? Is it through the commodity market? Is it because some of the central banks are dumping gold? How are they manipulating the price of gold and silver down?
Well, they occasionally sell physical gold or get somebody else to do it. And that's when they want to knock down the London market, which is a physical market. But most of their trading is done via derivatives, and they will purchase the derivatives from a derivative writer who will in turn, you know, cover their position. So if the government says we want to short 1 million ounces of gold, then someone will write them a derivative that, you know, you just sold it, and that means they, in turn, if they cover their position, what they'll have to do is go into the market and buy and sell gold. And so that creates a false market. Now, when individuals or institutions do it, it's one thing, but when government does it, it's another. And when government does it, it creates a real problem because they have an endless supply of money. I mean, they can just keep on printing it as long as they want, and all the losses just go on the balance sheet and the American public pays for it. And this goes on in all markets, just not gold and silver. And so that's how they do it. And you can watch them. They do the same thing on the long side of the market with the Standard Poor's 500 Index and the NASDAQ and, of course, the Dow and other indexes that would make the stock market go up. And today is another in the hundreds and hundreds of examples where the government come in the market in the last 20 minutes took it from minus 40 to plus 40. And everybody knows what's going on. Now, most of Wall Street has not publicly talked about it. But in Saturday's issue, I have two tapes, and there are two panels on CNBC where they discussed market manipulation by the United States government. And that is extraordinarily important because the cat is now visibly out of the bag. And so what is the next step? Well, there'll be complaints here and complaints there. How am I supposed to trade the market when it's rigged?
And I think that's the most important thing, Big Bob, is for people to realize the market is rigged, the commodity markets are rigged, the price of oil is rigged, the price of gold and silver is rigged, and if you're rigging the market with the full consent of the government, why, you can make an awful lot of money. And anybody who thinks that these are altruistic people who are rigging the market and they're not playing it and making vast fortunes have to be incredibly naive. In fact,
well, the government looks the other way. Well, their order takers, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, etc., they front-run their orders. That's how they make so much money. And it's a license to steal, just like the ownership of the Fed.
I don't know if you've seen the fascinating article. It's the latest Rolling Stones, but it's got quite a bit of play. It's on Goldman Sachs.
It was in my last issue.
Okay, well, I mean, they call it Government Sachs. I'm looking forward to your analysis of it.
Tabelli.
I mean, basically, they point out that Larry Summers, now, Larry Summers was the Secretary of Treasury in the Clinton administration, really responsible for most of the problems we've got, you know, doing away with the various bills, the Graham bill, pardon me, the original Glass-Steagall bill. Larry Summers did that. But Larry Summers is really primarily responsible for everything going on. And, of course, as a result of that, Goldman Sachs made a lot of money. And suddenly Larry Summers went and he spent, I think, a day at Goldman Sachs to advise them, got $125,000 for one day's of advice. That's pretty good money. And now, of course, Larry Summers is apparently the chief of the Council of Economic Advisors in the Obama administration. Many people think that he will be the next head of the Federal Reserve System. But, of course, his ties to Goldman Sachs, as the ties of literally everybody else to Goldman Sachs, are really incredible. I mean, two very influential secretaries of the Treasury, Robert Rubin and Henry Paulson, come from Goldman Sachs. Although Timothy Geithner is not a Goldman Sachs alumni, his chief of staff, Mark Patterson, is, or at least he was a lobbyist for Goldman Sachs. That is an amazing article pointing out how they really run the government.
Yeah, and they have for 100 years, along with their buddies. And they all, you know, have their time. It used to be Reed Dillon after the war, and then J.P. Morgan Chase, and now it's Goldman Sachs. Citigroup used to be in there. They still are, but not as big a piece, you know, of the action. And, you know, this is why Joe Kennedy filled his sons in on what goes on in Wall Street. And that's why Jack Kennedy wanted to do away with the Federal Reserve. It's one of the reasons he was murdered. And interestingly enough, Joe Kennedy was a street fighter. He was a tough, tough Irishman. And I knew him fairly well. I used to caddy for him. And I was a boy then. I was 13 to 14 years old. I guess it was 14. And I knew his the two daughters and the mother. And I knew Teddy, but I didn't know Jack nor his older brother who had died in the war. But his father filled him in on everything that was going on. And not that he, Joe Kennedy, was any better or any worse than the crowd that's there. He took advantage of it. But he wanted to make sure they got their comeuppance. And that's why Jack did what he did. And Jack also wanted to get rid of the CIA and wanted Israel to get rid of their atomic weapons. And that's why you had Mossad, Permendex, the CIA, and the FBI in on the whole thing.
You're in on the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Anybody doubt that? Really needs to get our four tapes set on Kennedy. The two of them, one's Kennedy assassination, the other's the update. And you'll hear people telling about the meeting the night before. The FBI and the CIA were there planning it. Well, Bob, you go right ahead and pick the story up.
But anyway, getting back to what the Goldmans of this world are doing, it's hard for the decent, average mind to be able to countenance the abject, diabolical, and evil nature of the people who we are dealing with. These people are Satanists. They don't believe in God or anything else. And they believe that their time on earth is spent bettering their position and doing what the Illuminati wants them to do. And that's what Larry Summers and Kissinger and Brzezinski and all of those kinds of people are all about. They've made a conscious choice. They were recruited. And they like the job, evidently. And they don't have any of the same values that we have. So when you say, well, gee, how can anybody do such a horrible thing? Well, it's easy for them. It's not difficult at all. And, you know, you have to understand how they operate. After 28 years in Wall Street, I know exactly how they operate. And anything goes. And they justify it through their psychopathic minds that everything they're doing is fine. And incidentally, they all think that the money that you have belongs to them. And then just allowing you to have it for a temporary period of time.
I thought that article on the Goldman Sachs was amazing. They got their customers, the people who were trusting Goldman Sachs. You know, Goldman Sachs would get them into stocks or various investments, and then Goldman Sachs would bet against the investments that they'd got their customers into. I mean, how could you possibly do that? Well, of course, I've seen Goldman Sachs on one hand saying, oh, the price of gold has got to go up, you know, $1,500, $2,000. And then Goldman Sachs, you know, when people start investing, shorts gold and manipulates the price down. When are people going to understand the system is rigged?
Incidentally, you know, this new cap and trade, they're going to do the same thing with that. It's going to be a big money maker because the cap, essentially, is a tax on polluters. And non-polluters will get credits for not being polluters. So, as a non-polluter, Citigroup can sell credits to XYZ coal company in West Virginia. Well, what they'll do is take their own credits, Citigroup, and to buy credits from others. Then they'll mark them up 50%, and then they'll sell them to XYZ, a coal company of West Virginia. Hypothetical, of course. And so that's how that's going to work. It's going to be another great scam. Another giant scam. And what's going along with that, we're going to have a 20% increase in taxation with all the taxes that are going to be put on things, because they are destroying the atmosphere.
And basically, of course, Obama said he was not going to tax the common people. This is one of the greatest taxes we have ever had. Of course, you're not going to tax them directly. It's going to be the price of gasoline. It's going to be the price of things that they buy, whose price is going to skyrocket because of these cap and trade credits.
20%.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and suddenly Bob Chapman's talking about how this cap and trade legislation is going to result, in effect, in a 20% tax on just about everything you buy, your products you buy, and the price of your electricity. Of course, the price of electricity is probably going to double. They're talking about $1,400 per family, per home here within a year or two, a couple of years. Of course, they're lying about what it's going to cost. He says it's only going to cost $140, but they lie about everything. They know they're intentionally going to raise the price of electricity so that we won't be able to afford electricity. And, of course, the cap-and-trade concept is really a cut-and-trade. The cut is cutting out our manufacturing. Our manufacturing are going to move overseas to where they can get cheap labor and cheap power, because you can't function in industry without power. They're going to drive. They're going to cut out what's little remaining of the manufacturing. And, of course, we're going to simply trade it to other countries. It's all part of their plan to impoverish the American people. I think the average individual finds it difficult, though, to believe that the people working the highest echelon of our government want to destroy our industrial base and lay more people off. I mean, after all, President Obama keeps talking about wanting to get people back to work. But this cap and trade will lose far more jobs than we'll ever make with it, won't we?
About 5 million for openers. And I have another survey in this last issue. I forget which country it was. I think it was Sweden. It was a disaster there. And Spain was doing worse, and Obama says that Spain was his model.
And
Obama doesn't know anything about anything.
There, of course, they've lost 2.5 jobs for every job that they've made, and of course, it's cost a fantastic amount of money. And that's exactly what it's going to cost here. And they are going to destroy our economy. That's what it's all about. It's an attack on our economy using the phony rationalization that we're all going, of course, to be destroyed by global warming. Now, since we have global cooling, they call it climate change. We've got to stop climate change. Actually, the world is cooling today. There's a new EPA report out, totally suppressed by the controlled media. And there was an article to the credit of Wall Street Journal on it, talking about the scientist working for EPA who came up with the report, who was told you must never release this report. You cannot do any more work on global warming because your report, of course, is contrary to what the administration's agenda is. Go right ahead.
Well, if you think that's damaging, in order to finance the new health care legislation, it will cost another 20%. And so if you're in a 25% bracket and you pay 5 to the state, and you add 20 and 20, you get 40 plus 30, and you're in for 70% plus Social Security, and your real estate taxes and other state excise or sales taxes, so you're in for 75% of your income. And that's deliberate.
Well, it'd almost be cheaper just to quit and go on welfare. The only trouble is they're going to cut off welfare, too.
That's right. I have a letter going into the next issue from a businessman who owns a company. And very solvent, very successful company. And his bank called him and said, we're cutting off your line of credit. And he said, well, gee, I can't understand that. Work with you for years and years, and now you want to do that. And they said, well, we have to do this, that, and the other thing. So that was the end of it. And he went on to a larger bank in the Midwest. And he talked to the banker, and the banker said, sure, we'll give you a line. You know, you got a wonderful business, and I don't really think you need the money. But anyway, he got the line, but they got to talking. And the banker says that hundreds of banks are going under, and secretly they're being absorbed by other banks. There's no notification in any part of the media on this. And the funds that are being used to do that are the TARP funds. And that's what really they were all about. And the banker expects, I think it was 500 to 1,000 banks over the next year will be swallowed up.
Well, I think they're up to 52 or 57 banks so far this year.
Yeah, well, that's what they report.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the whole financial structure of the United States is under attack today. It's not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. Because, of course, when you have a system built upon a fiat money system, it's very, very profitable for a time. But it's, of course, as Margaret Thatcher said so well, the trouble with socialism, eventually you run out of spending other people's money to spend. And that's where we are today. And, of course, now they're just creating money out of nothing. And eventually we end up, of course, as Venice did and Florence did and so many other times throughout history when they've tried these systems and they just don't work. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Bob Chapman. Bob, I played that a little longer just to give you a chance to rest up your voice. Are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'll make it through.
All right, fine. Well, I'm really proud. I know you're having a tremendous impact out there, and you're getting to talk to an awful lot of people on a lot of stations about what's going on, and more power to you, because your message is my message, and my message is your message, and that is that there are forces working behind the scenes that have a different worldview. And, of course, you can call it a conspiracy, you can call it an agenda, you can call it a satanic movement, you can call it the Illuminati, it doesn't matter what you call it, it is all the same thing, and they're goal is to destroy our nation, and they're doing a very good job. But Bob, the problem is when you tell people this, most people look at you, their eyes glass over, because they can't believe this sort of thing is happening. And if it were, certainly Rush Limbaugh would tell us. But you go right ahead.
Well, you know, you and I have been doing this both for 50 years, and we never expected a miracle. And it's a lot easier to convince people today than it was in the early 60s. So we've made great strides. And I really think we, in part, got these people on the run. I mean, they're running around in circles. You know, how do we shut up guys like Stan and Bob and Alex Jones and John Stadmiller and many others? How do we do that? Without, you know, kicking the door in and hauling them off or murdering them. And so I think they've got quite a problem. And the information not only goes out, as we know, on AM FM, but it goes out by shortwave and satellite and internet. It's all over the world. And these subscribers that I have worldwide send me stuff all the time. Well, things that go on that people never see.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, Bob. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess. This is Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And Bob is saying he really feels that the people on the other side are very concerned, because people are beginning to wake up. People are beginning to realize that the Federal Reserve is a private-owned bank owned by these major banks in this country. Nobody's ever audited. We've never had a private audit of it. Certainly they audit themselves and say, see, there's nothing to worry about. We audited ourselves, and it's clean as the driven snow. And that's sort of like Mr. Madoff. Bernie Madoff auditing his own company. And you have this $65 billion Ponzi scheme he had. But the audit showed everything was right. And right now, of course, Madoff is a piker next to the Fed. The Fed has given away $2 trillion. $2 trillion that you and I are responsible for. They won't even tell Congress where the money's gone because they don't have to. They're a private bank. But they're concerned because, of course, there's talk about an audit. In fact, they've even hired a Federal Reserve System to tell everybody how wonderful they are. And you can trust the big bankers. After all, they would never betray the American people. They're men of integrity and honor. Just keep giving them more and more of a taxpayer's dollars, as we did when we got Mr. Henry Paulson, who used to be CEO of Goldman Sachs, who appointed Mr. Liddy, who is head of AIG. Mr. Liddy was affiliated with Goldman Sachs and held their stock. Mr. Liddy gave Goldman Sachs $12.5 billion, didn't even try to negotiate it down because of a derivative deal. I mean, people might think there might be some incest there, some relationship, but, I mean, you have to be an awful paranoid individual and believe in a conspiracy to believe that Henry Paulson, who made almost $750 million as CEO of Goldman Sachs and gave that salary up to take a job as Secretary of the Treasury for $180,000 a year, that he might have had some ulterior purposes when he resigned as CEO of Goldman Sachs, making $35 to $45 million a year for $185,000 a year salary. But then, of course, some people are a little, they believe in a conspiracy. Well, right now, Bob, before I go on, I want you to give our telephone number. I want you to give our website. And I certainly want you. And then I want to you tell people how they can get copies of the International Forecaster. And we will take calls. I think we have somebody already calling. But if you'd like to talk to Bob, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Bob, before we get to our callers, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the International Forecaster. And I will tell our listeners out there, I get this on Saturday and again on Wednesday. I always look forward to it. I read it through all 35 pages. I may skip a few pages at the end on health issues. But even that is very, very interesting. But I have so many other things to do. But I read that through word for word. Fascinating material you'll never find elsewhere, and of course Bob's views are very close to mine. Bob, tell people how they can get in touch with you and get the Forecaster.
The Forecast is about business, finance, economics, social and political issues all over the world. We publish, as you said, on Wednesdays and Saturdays by email. Runs around 35 to 40 pages. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month, and that's for people who are not on the Internet. If you'd like to get a free introductory copy, there's one of three sources you can go to. The site, theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. You can email us, and that address is BOV, that's Bob, at INT, FORECASTER.com, Bob at InForecaster.com, or you can call toll-free 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to George calling from Toronto, and, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, George. How are you doing?
Great, Dr. Stan. God bless you and Bob. Bob, can you tell me, is reserve banking necessary?
No. Under the Constitution, it says that the monetary policy of the United States will be handled by the Treasury Department. And in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed, and it was taken away from the Treasury Department and given to a group of private bankers.
Because it just seems like that's part of the big mess that's created all this.
You're absolutely right. The thing is that originally, of course, monetary policy, the federal government would coin money, and of course it was based upon gold and silver. That would be put into banks, and then in the various banks, state banks, why, of course, they would then issue a script of some sort. But, you know, it's much harder, of course, to bribe the Treasury Department in 50 different states, the banking authorities in 50 different states, than simply to control this all from the national level. Well, that's what it was all about. It's much harder, of course, to bribe, you know, representatives in 50 states than to bribe the Congress, you know, in Washington, D.C. I mean, they literally give these people hundreds of millions of dollars in campaign contributions. Do you honestly believe that congressmen are going to do what's right for the people who are paying the bills?
Can I ask Bob one other question?
You certainly can. Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, you had mentioned that Peter Monk, the head of Barrick Gold, was shorting the gold market. That seems counterintuitive. Why would he do that?
Because he's a member of the Illuminati.
Was he getting paid off to do that?
Of course.
Okay.
In fact, it's my suspicion the seed money for his original company, which was... Barrick Oil, if I remember correctly, in the late 70s, became Barrick Gold later, and he would go and buy up producing properties, and then he would sell the gold into the market that was going to be produced from those properties, and he would pay the loan back later in the form of gold. And the intention was to suppress the price. And that was being done deliberately at the behest of the people who control him, the royal family in particular, along with the other U.S. Illuminists. And if you look at their board of directors going back for years, you'll find all types of political types, the Mulroneys and Bush and Vernon Jordan and on and on. And when a lawsuit was brought several years ago, the findings in the interrogatories were that Barrick said that they were acting in behalf of the U.S. government selling gold forward into the market. And I recognized that in 1988 and wrote about it. The article appeared in Bull and Bear, which is an American publication run by a husband and wife in Florida who happened to be Canadians. And they became good friends of mine over 25, 35 years. And in the early 90s, I tried to get a groundswell going of shareholders to sue Barrick for what they were doing. And I couldn't get anybody to do it.
In other words, they basically were selling the gold, which should have been going up in price. They were selling it in an effort to drive down the price of the product that they were producing. That doesn't make sense unless there was another agenda, and that's what it was about.
Now you know what it is.
Okay, and that answer your question, George?
Very, very well.
God bless. Thanks for
coming. Incidentally, Peter Monk was up on criminal charges, I think it was in Quebec. He had a company that was on government contract or government subsidy, and they, if I remember correctly, they were making televisions or chassis for them or something. And he and his friend and partner, Sandy Gilmore, they fled Canada and went to the American Samoan Islands where they were bankrolled by the royal family. And there were arrest warrants out for them until they expired. And so this guy's a real piece of work.
Well, there are a lot of them out there, but they all tie in, of course, to the elite, and they tie into the royal families. Which royal family was that? Was that a British or a Dutch or what?
British,
okay. Well, of course, what people don't understand is their strong ties with the British royal family into the occult, into Masonry. And the Order of the Garter, you might even want to look that up on the internet. The Order of the Garter, one of the older secret societies. It's been around since the 13 or 1400s. And, of course, many of the leaders of the world belong to the Order of the Garter, an occult order, an ancient, ancient order. Well, let's go to Jeff, who's calling us from Iowa. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to speak with both of you. I have a question for Bob.
Go right ahead.
Bob, I know that both you and Alex Jones predicted the attacks on 9/11 several weeks beforehand. Could you tell me what the events were that were going on prior to that that allowed you to be able to see what they were going to do to us?
Well, my projection came November of the previous year.
Wow.
And I said it would happen on or about October 16th. I thought that was the timing. You know, that's what I thought it would be.
Right.
And I was off by 33 days.
Well, you should remember that George Herbert Walker Bush gave his talk about the New World Order on September 11th. Of 2000. That was just 11 years to the very day with the September 11th attack. Probably just a coincidence. But
it was 91.
91 or 90?
Yeah.
I think it was
90. It was 91. That's because that's when I first started chasing the New World Order.
All right. Well, okay, fine. We'll check that out. Thank you so much. Anything else, Jeff?
Okay. No, that's all. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Fine. Go ahead, Bob. Any other comments?
No.
No, I have none.
All right, fine. Let's go to Tom, who's calling from Chicago. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Tom. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan, and Bob, as always. Bob, I was just going to ask you, as far as the ETFs being used by the Illuminists to destroy the positions of people that hold gold and silver physically, are there other entities that we should be aware of that are also in the producing of those precious metals, the mining shares that would be considered in the same vein of Illuminists?
There are a number of these ETFs worldwide, most of them controlled by the World Gold Council, which is a front, as far as I'm concerned, for the Illuminists. And I do not believe, because there's no outside audits on either of them, that they have the positions that they say they have. And I think that they're using derivatives in order to fulfill their mission of buying gold and silver. How much that percentage of physical that they have, I just don't know. They'll tell you, but you can't believe anything that they say. And you can't see an independent audit. It's the same sort of situation which it exists with the Federal Reserve. You know, you don't really know what they're doing until you can audit everything that they have or have an outside private auditing firm do that. And so I think that they don't have the positions they say they have. I think it is physically impossible for them to have those positions because the amount of gold that they say that they're buying just isn't available. And it is my suspicion that both GLD and SLD are lending gold and silver to the U.S. government to short the market.
All right, fine. Anything else, Tom?
Would you say Barrick and Newmont, Ivanhoe, are the three entities that would be in the same class as the ETF?
Well, Barrick was the subject of a previous conversation here. It's another mining company, although you might say an evil one. Newmont has just accumulated a number of producing properties. It's one of the largest gold mining companies in the world. And it's not an ETF, nor is Barrick by any means. And the third one was?
Ivanhoe.
Ivanhoe is different. And there is much in exploration all over the world. The man that runs the company has had a very checkered past, and I certainly wouldn't buy one of his stocks.
Thank you so much, Bob.
All right, again, our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. I was just looking up on the Internet, and under a date of George H.W. Bush New World Order speech, they mentioned September 11th, 1990. They also mentioned that he also gave another speech in 1991 in September on the New World Order. But he did give a speech on September 11th, 1990 on the New World Order. At least that's what it says up on the Internet. If you can believe anything on the Internet, our guest has been certainly Bob Chapman, and we're talking about what is happening financially. Bob, when do the reports come out on the corporate earnings from the second quarter? Because you've said repeatedly these are going to be from bad to worse.
2 weeks they begin.
All right, fine. And certainly the unemployment statistics from the last month, for the month of June, have been very discouraging. What about home foreclosures? They tell us that this is one of the keys. If we can just control home foreclosures, are they slowing down at all? Or, I mean, what they tell us is that a sale of homes is picking up, and that's because people are selling all these, are buying all these foreclosed homes. What about home foreclosures? Are they still continuing, and more people losing their homes across America?
Well, the amount of inventory continues to climb.
Right.
And it will continue to do so as unemployment continues over the next few years to get worse. And so that means that prime borrowers who had very good jobs, many of them will lose their homes. In fact,
hold that thought, Bob. We'll be back in just a moment here. Bob, go ahead. Complete your thought there.
Of the foreclosures that are happening presently, 50% are from prime borrowers. And then we still have the Alta loans, which end about the end of the year, you know, for resetting. And then until and through 2012, we're going to have a problem with option ARM loans. So the pressure on the real estate market is going to continue. It's not going to go away. Prices will continue to go down. And then once it gets to a bottom, and let's say it's during 2012, it could take 5 or 10 or 20 years to pick up any steam to appreciate again.
And this is
the damage that's been done is horrible. And there's going to be no quick way back, even if there's a way back.
Okay, let's go to Robert, who's calling us from Gilroy. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing fine, Dr. Stein. I'd like your guest to elaborate a bit on Barrick, because I know that Barrick is their chairman is a guy named Monk, and I know he attends the Bigwig Conference at Davos, Switzerland. And I wondered if your guest could shed some light on anything.
He's also a Bilderberger. Do you know what that is?
Yes. Yes, I didn't know he was a Bilderberger.
Right, and he's extremely close to the royal family, and he's very, very close to the Illuminists in North America. And so he's one of them.
Brian Mulroney, the former premier of Canada, sits on the board.
Yeah, he does. And he was, I consider him a crook. You know, just a plain, simple, vanilla crook. They had all that, the planes that were purchased, that big deal that went down, and he made a pile of money off of it, and we got swept under a rug, and nothing ever happened, but He made a lot of money from that. And he still can...
They've got a big chunk of prospective properties in Nevada.
I don't doubt that.
Hey, we're out of time, Robert. Thank you so very much, but we'll have Bob out with us next Monday at the same time. Bye. Thanks very much. And, Bob, I want to thank you. I hope you get feeling better, and please keep in touch with us.
I will. Bye-bye.
Stay safe. Bye-bye. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and basically, of course, we've got real problems in America because we have secret societies, and everybody says, oh, there couldn't be secret societies. I mean, how would you know about them that were secret? Well, I've been studying this for 47 years. Now, a lot of them, of course, like the Council on Foreign Relations. You can read about it in the newspaper and magazines now. But 15 years ago, you couldn't. You never read about them. They were totally a secret. Because basically, they're a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891 to bring about a one-world government. And if you want to verify that, that comes from a book written by Bill Clinton's mentor, the leading historian of the last century, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And some of the finest information we have on what's going on comes from liberal college professors, which, of course, Professor Clinton Quigley was. He taught at Princeton and Harvard and Georgetown University. But his book, of course, was so informative that somebody actually purchased the publisher and then destroyed the place of the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. And if you doubt that, we have a taped interview with Professor Quigley I found in his papers back at Georgetown. And you can actually hear him telling the story of how they actively suppressed his book and how it came to be back in print again after a pirate stole the manuscript and then, of course, put it out, you know, as a book again. And Professor Quigley eventually agreed to pay it, except $3 a copy for the right to republish the book. So if you'd like to get Tragedy and Hope, it's available from Radio Liberty. You can get the special. You can get actually a copy of the interview with the Professor Quigley, as well as, of course, the book Foundations, Their Power and Their Influence, shows how the Rockefeller Foundation, Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation have been financing communism and socialism. Why would they do that? To draw our attention away from the fact that the major force behind this move towards world government was right here among the wealthy elite of our country. And of course, this book doesn't get, Foundations doesn't get into it. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, does, because we explain that these people are all, and the families are all, deeply involved in the occult. Andrew Carnegie was involved in the occult. The Ford, Henry Ford, certainly was involved in the occult. The Rockefellers family has been involved in the occult. And certainly Stephen Rockefeller, who wrote the Earth Charter, was deeply involved in the occult. Lawrence Rockefeller's certainly Endowment for the Humanities, I think it was, financed Barbara Mox Hubbard's book, entitled her book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, the rewriting of the Revelation, which was channeled to her by a demonic spirit. Of course, she called it the Christ spirit, but it was a demonic spirit. The book was channeled to her. And Lawrence Rockefeller financed its republication. Understand that nothing is that appears to be. If you'd like to get, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you to what's going on, or get the DVD, or get them all together in the Brotherhood of Darkness special, call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to really understand how it fits together, you need to get our talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. If you want to understand, what's happening financially and how they've created this whole world financial crisis and collapse intentionally, because, of course, they want to bring about their world government out of the chaos that's coming. And believe me, chaos is coming. The talk is Financial Armageddon. And you need to get the syllabus that goes with that so you can actually read the speeches by Congressman McFadden in 1932, Congressman Wright Patman in 1964, a speech by Andrew Jackson in 1837. And the battle that Andrew Jackson fought with the bank is being fought still today. Only today, these people have total control over the media, and total control over the reality of so many Americans. But we're beginning to have inroads. People know something's wrong, and we've got the answers. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. You can listen on the Internet to our programs 9 hours a day. Watch our videos and DVDs there for nothing. Read our newsletters. And, of course, please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.